derives most directly, however, from clinical experience. This theory is, I think, in the functionalist tradition of James and Dewey and is fused with the holism of Wertheimer, Goldstein, and Gestalt psychology, and with the dynamicism of Freud and Adler. This fusion or synthesis may arbitrarily be called a general dynamic theory. It is far easier to perceive and to criticize the aspects in motivation theory than to remedy them. Mostly, this is because of the very serious lack of sound data in this area. I conceive this lack of sound facts to be due primarily to the absence of a valid theory of motivation. The present theory, then, must be considered to be a suggested program or framework for future research and must stand or fall not so much on facts available or evidence presented as upon researches yet to be done, researches suggested perhaps by the questions raised in this paper. 2. The basic needs. The physiological needs, the needs that are usually taken as the starting point for motivation theory, are the so-called physiological drives. Two recent lines of research make it necessary to revise our customary notions about these needs. First, the development of the concept of homeostasis, and second, the finding that appetites, preferential choices among foods, are a fairly efficient indication of actual needs or lacks in the body. Homeostasis refers to the body's automatic efforts to maintain a constant normal state of the bloodstream. Cannon has described this process for 1. The water content of the blood, 2. Salt content, 3. Sugar content, 4. Protein content, 5. Fat content, 6. Calcium content, 7. Oxygen content, 8. Constant hydrogen ion level, acid-base balance, and 9. Constant temperature of the blood. Obviously, this list can be extended to include other minerals, the hormones, vitamins, etc. Young, in a recent article, has summarized the work on appetite in its relation to body needs. If the body lacks some chemical, the individual will tend to develop a specific appetite or partial hunger for that food element. Thus, it seems impossible as well as useless to make any list of fundamental physiological needs, for they can come to almost any number one might wish, depending on the degree of specificity of description. We cannot identify all physiological needs as homeostatic. That sexual desire, sleepiness, sheer activity, and maternal behavior in animals are homeostatic has not yet been demonstrated. Furthermore, this list would not include the various sensory pleasures, tastes, smells, tickling, stroking, which are probably physiological and which may become the goals of motivated behavior. In a previous paper, it has been pointed out that these physiological drives or needs are to be considered unusual rather than typical because they are isolable and because they are localizable somatically. That is to say, they are relatively independent of each other, of other motivations, and of the organism as a whole. And secondly, in many cases, it's possible to demonstrate a localized underlying somatic base for the drive. This is true less generally than has been thought. Exceptions are fatigue. This is true less generally than has been thought. Exceptions are fatigue, sleepiness, maternal responses. But it is still true in the classic instances of hunger, sex, and thirst. It should be pointed out again that any of the physiological needs and the consummatory behavior involved with them serve as channels for all sorts of other needs as well. That is to say, the person who thinks he is hungry may actually be seeking more for comfort or dependence than for vitamins or proteins. Conversely, it's possible to satisfy the hunger need in part by other activities, such as drinking water or smoking cigarettes. In other words, relatively isolable as these physiological needs are, they are not completely so. Undoubtedly, these physiological needs are the most preponderant of all needs. What this means specifically is that in the human being who is missing everything in life in an extreme fashion, it is most likely that the major motivation would be the physiological needs rather than any others. A person who is lacking food, safety, love, and esteem would most probably hunger for food more strongly than for anything else. If all the needs are unsatisfied and the organism is then dominated by the physiological needs, all other needs may become simply non-existent or be pushed into the background. It is then fair to characterize the whole organism by saying simply that it is hungry, for consciousness is almost completely preempted.